I've always gone on like Psychology Today because I just Google it. Is there some other thing I should be doing? Hey everyone, I'm Morgan DeBon, a passionate entrepreneur and life advisor. With the Journey Podcast, you'll discover that success isn't about the destination, it's about the journey. I'm sharing stories of amazing people who've taken control of their lives. Join me on my own journey to discover the secret sauce behind reaching success with permission from no one else. Welcome back to the Journey Podcast. I'm so excited. I have Nedra here today. We are going to talk all about boundaries, how to live a drama-free life, intentions, resolutions. You know, it's the end of the year / beginning of the year, depending on when this episode comes out, because you know your girl is balancing all types of things right now. But I'm really excited today because there's just so many things going on in my life. And as you guys know, this podcast and these episodes are also really just a time and moment for me to reflect and talk about what's happening and also be able to talk to some of the best minds in the world about how I can leverage their ideas, their framework, their genius to help us all live a better and more fulfilled life. So welcome, Nedra, to the Journey Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Congratulations on motherhood.
Thank you. I was before the episode, I was just sharing with her that I'm 6 weeks in. So I feel like I'm out of the days a little bit. One of the things that I wasn't prepared for was the impact that it has on my relationship. I was very prepared for labor and like just all the things that I could control. And him and I are like literally so good, so sweet. It's the things that's been challenging has been navigating the boundaries and relationships with everyone outside of our relationship and us having a difference of opinions on everything from do we text pictures of the baby to different family members, core family members, extended family members, cousins I've never met on his mama's side, you know, cousins he's never met or uncles and aunts on my parents' side, right? And even so-and-so just came in town to visit. Can they stop by? And I'm like, it's a no for me. RSV, like, what are we doing? You know, but then I'm like, oh man, when one of my friends comes in town, I kind of want them to stop by. So just figuring out all of those things has been a lot of dialogue, a lot of back and forth on top of sleep deprivation has had different moments in which I haven't been super proud of how I've handled things. And so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because if I understand correctly, you were a relationship therapist.
Relationship therapist, yeah.
And I'm just curious, like how do you recommend that we approach considering a relationship therapist? And like, what are the things that I should think about as I just like kind of walk through that decision-making process?
Yes, you should certainly be looking for someone who you both would be comfortable with. Sometimes with couples, one person will say, oh, I found this really wonderful therapist and I love them. And then, you know, you go to therapy and other person's like, I really don't like, you know, people who chew gum while talking, you know, whatever the thing is. So you want to make sure that it's someone that you both agree on, that you have a clear set of, okay, so our intention here is to talk about extended family relationships, being new parents, and how to stay connected. And so as you're searching for therapists, those are the things that you're looking for. When you're looking on their website, when you're looking at all of these bios, those three things should be at front of mind. I think sometimes when we're looking for a therapist, we're looking for our insurance, we're looking for somebody who's around the corner from our house. And it's like, look, if you have to drive 35 minutes to find someone who will help you with hair loss, if that's the thing you want to talk about, drive 35 minutes. Please don't go to this person around the corner from your house that treats people who have, you know, issues with depression or work-life balance. You want to find the exact thing. That really helps us settle into the therapy process because it's a different experience. You know, how often do we just stare at someone and talk? That doesn't happen regularly. So some of us, we're like freaked out when we go. So we need to make sure we're not like hopping around all over the place and we can try our best to get it right initially.
I love that advice. And it's something that I preach often. You know, a lot of times people say get a mentor. And my perspective has always been get an advisor, get someone who is very specific and has a ton of experience in the unique problem that you think is unique to you, but actually is there every day. And that helps for me, it has helped me feel more confident that I know that I'm your norm. I never want to be an outlier when I'm paying someone to give me like advice and ideas. Like, I want to be your average person. And even though for me, I'm going through this experience of transitioning into motherhood and relationship dynamics for the first time, so it feels out of body for me, for someone, hopefully, that I can talk to, this is what they see every single day. And that's definitely my advice for anyone who's listening in as you're looking for different advisors in your life, is to consider that. One of the things that I look at, so I've gone to therapy before. I typically find therapists, to your point, either A, based off of convenience, like people I can walk to or drive to really quickly, or two, who have the expertise for the specific thing I'm trying to work on. I've always gone on like Psychology Today, because I just Google it. Is there some other thing I should be doing?
Psychology Today is wonderful. Therapy for Black Girls is a wonderful resource. I believe there's a Therapy for Black Men, also a Good Therapy, Open Path. There are quite a few places that will allow you to kind of punch in your zip code, your insurance, and pull some therapists from those sort of filters, which is really helpful. Mm-hmm. If you have insurance, what might be best is to go through your insurance company, because even on a Psychology Today, people will get really excited and they're like, yes, I want to see Morgan. She's going to be great. And they call Morgan and Morgan is like, I don't accept your insurance. Right. And they're like, why? And it's like, I don't even know where you know, like, so these are things that you can do before, so you're not disappointed when this person doesn't accept your insurance, or, you know, they live in this space that maybe you didn't pay attention to. Like, doing a bit of research before is helpful. I do know that, you know, one of the big things that could keep a person from going to therapy is being overwhelmed by finding the right therapist, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be like, oh, I've looked at 47 people. And oh, no one has the right shoes on. It's like, you don't want to do that either. So I suggest, you know, kind of treating it like a speed dating thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, put your insurance in there, put your zip code in, put your, you know, area of focus, right? Look at the top five, call on five. Mm-hmm. You know, you may hear someone's voice and be like, oh my gosh, this person has such a soothing voice. I wasn't thinking I would want to see Arthur. But after I talked to him on the phone, I think Arthur's my guy. So, you know, don't pay too much attention to the aesthetics. Okay. Therapists, sometimes we are not photographers.
Right.
So you'll have people be like, oh, I looked at their picture, but they had a, you know, it's blurry. It's like, that is the best therapist I know.
Margaret, that is not a
with that
right.
blurry picture?
That's right.
Oh my gosh. That's who you want to see. I refer to her all the time.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, if you could move away from the aesthetics and, you know, different things like that, you may be finding your person. So give a few folks a call, you know, figure out who can work, but certainly don't give up because you're trying to find a perfect therapist. There is someone on this planet that you can see. And it might not be perfect, but it will be really, really good.
Okay, that's super helpful. I'm curious from your perspective as well, Nidra, like when you're talking to couples, people who are blending families where everybody comes from different worlds, different backgrounds, different like growing up, what are some of the things that as we enter into the new year that you find that people can think about or start working through when it comes to boundary setting, while also recognizing that there's two people in a relationship, right? So I can't just set boundaries in isolation, or can I?
Well, it depends on what your boundary is. If your boundary is, you know, hey, you know, before we start talking, right after I finish with work, I need 10 minutes, then you can set that boundary in isolation. Mm. Now, if you have three kids at home and you're like, hey, when I come in the house, I don't want anybody to talk to me. It's like, okay, that's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So your boundary might be to sit in the car for those 10 minutes, you know, so to really figure out the things that you can do and the things that are absolutely unreasonable. Sometimes we will try to give people our boundary with the expectation like, hey, I told them this thing and they're not doing it. And we need to figure out a way to get it done without them maybe having to change anything.
I think that's really good advice. In other words, what is in your sphere of control or sphere of influence where you're not necessarily imposing your boundaries on other people, but being able to manage things for yourself to the best of your ability, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is something that I need to think through and work on. What are some other ideas or things that people can do? Like, let's say, for example, one of the things that I want to do is have time for myself. So as a new mom and as a person who's breastfeeding, my time is very disjointed, right? It's like, baby's up, I'm here, I gotta go where baby goes. And something that I'm trying to work through is the resentment, not to any person, but just like mental resentment of like, oh man, I can't get anything done for more than like an hour and a half or 2 hours before I'm back needed. And so what I've been trying to think through is how do I release some of that resentment and accept that this is a very temporary phase to some extent of being the primary food source, right, for my child. And also not be so hard on myself about like, look, it's okay to feel like you're kind of not stuck, but just kind of like in a moment of this will pass. Does that make sense? That's what I've been trying to hold on to. Is there anything else that you think I can do differently to create more space for myself, but also acknowledging that I am in this phase of life?
You know, I think with parenthood, what could be really helpful is to photo journal. You probably do some of this anyway, like, you know, take a picture of the baby and just remember, you know, your intention for this photo journal would be, what things have I already evolved from that I thought would be, you know, something I'd have to do that maybe I was like, oh my gosh, no sleep. And it's like, okay, week four, that was your struggle. Guess what your struggle is now? Not a baby constipated. Now you have to figure out, you know, this new thing. Oh my gosh, not a baby gassy. Is it, you know, so from day to day, even, you know, with an infant, everything changes. I remember the phase of, you know, day one, babies can't wear socks. They fit none of the socks. None of the socks go on those little thin, oddly shaped feet. I don't know what it is. Then you look at another picture and oh my gosh, that little fat foot in the socks. It's like, oh my gosh, the problem that I have of what do I do with the sock? How do I keep it on the baby's foot? Yeah. It's not even a problem anymore. So once a problem, not always a problem. And so just remembering how valuable the time is that you're putting in and really giving yourself grace to feel more than one way about this experience. You know, sometimes we feel bad for feeling bad.
Right. That's what I was trying to say without saying
it. I'm a terrible person because I'm upset that I have to breastfeed. Well, you should be. You can't even wear certain types of shirts no more. I would be upset too. You know how good it felt to be able to put on a dress after breastfeeding? I'm like, oh my gosh.
With no buttons.
I could wear a dress. Who would have thought? Oh, you know, after you get that baby out, how good it feels to bend over and tie your shoe. Of course you're happy that the baby is healthy, but boy, oh boy, not being able to tie your shoe sucks. So it's room for more than one truth that yes, this is a wonderful, beautiful experience, and it is also tiring. And it is also impactful to not just the relationships in your house, but your friendships, your family relationships, your work, and, you know, all these other things. There is space for you to feel all of that. Now, there are going to be some people who tell you some terrible things. Mm. Oh, it's, you know, it's such a short period of time. At least you married, at least, blah, blah, yes. blah. You have to ignore those people. Put on your imaginary noise canceling earbuds as they're talking and just look at their forehead until they finish. Do not listen to them. They are well-meaning, but yes. they are not helpful.
I got a lot of that.
So it's like, oh, you really trying, and it sounds terrible.
They can't hear themselves.
They can't hear themselves. And then what you do is you never repeat that stuff to people. You never, everything they just said, you said, now let me add that to my bag of don't ever repeat it.
Right. And just to explain why you're saying that, I feel like I kind of know, but I just for the listener, why is the someone else saying, oh, well, you know, it's temporary or it's this or it's that. Why should we not absorb that?
It's not making me feel better. Like there needs to be a space for me to just feel bad and for me to just vent, for me to have some frustration. Please stop trying to make me feel better. I want to feel bad. You know, I remember I had a breakup in college and I was just sitting in the house. I left the door open for this friend. I was just so depressed. We could make a movie out of this depression I had. It was hilarious now, but at the time, whoo, I was just listening to Erykah Badu, Green Eyes, and the room was dark. I'm just sad and depressed. And she came on and turned the lights and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, there goes my depression. She's going to cheer me up.
Yeah.
I was feeling good being sad. I'm like, can I be sad in peace?
Yes.
You've done the hard part. You've created your business, taking the leap to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode of a great podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about marketing strategies. In this episode, you'll learn how to identify your target customer, where to find them, and which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business, looking to take a side hustle full time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, this show covers it all. Coming up this month on the show, you'll learn how to grow your email list from Jenna Kutcher, and you'll get a step-by-step guide for accelerating your business growth with my favorite, Amy Porterfield. Make sure to follow This is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss those fantastic episodes. And big thanks to This is Small Business for sponsoring the Journey podcast by Morgan DeBon. Now let's take a quick break from our sponsor. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the right tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you literally can't find anywhere else, and it does all of that while making the process easy and intuitive. I use LinkedIn every single time when I'm hiring candidates for Blavity and for Devon & Co., and I consistently find the top people who are right for our company's roles. Hiring is so much easier when you have that many quality candidates to source from. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. So head over to LinkedIn to post your job for free on linkedin.com/divine. That's linkedin.com/divine to post your job for free. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. Thanks, LinkedIn.
I always say whenever someone's trying to get me out of my funk, I'm like, I'm just feeling my feelings. Just let me feel my feelings, okay? Like, just let me feel them. Like, not everything's fine. Not everything's okay. And that's what I've tried to share. Like, sometimes I think when I share things, even on social media, I'll say, you know, like, oh, I'm so tired, or you know, baby cluster fed, and da 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 da. And everyone's like, this will pass, it's fine, just relax, just enjoy it. And I'm like, no. Like,
I'm gonna read your comments and be like, ugh, that does suck.
Yes. Thank you. Look at that suck. Waking up every 45 minutes. So it doesn't make me any less happy, any less grateful, right? Let's transition into the new year. So you have an idea of intentions and setting intentions and not necessarily setting resolutions. Tell me more about that.
Well, a resolution to me sounds like never, ever, ever again. I am resolving. I am releasing. I am letting go of. There's not a lot of flexibility in a resolution. I remember when I was in high school, I resolved to give up red meat. Pork wasn't quite as challenging as beef. You know, beef is a steak, the burger. You know, it took me till about maybe March or April to actually give up the red meat. And I felt so guilty because it was like, I have to do this. This has to be forever and ever. I mean, I still don't do it to this day, but even waiting the 3 month period from January 1 to it was like a lot of guilt. And it shouldn't have been. This is something I want to do. So I want to be more mindful of things. Now, there may be some things that I stop and then I have to start it again. I have to stop, you know, I have to start stopping again. And we have to be able to give ourselves grace for that. And when we have like these really hard resolutions of, I am not turning my phone on after 8 p.m. Well, what if it's an emergency? How would you feel if you had to turn it on? What if you turned it on this one day? It doesn't mean that you need to do this thing every single day all the time. It might just be more intentional about how you use your phone after 8 p.m. You know, that could be the goal. And maybe most days you're not using it. Maybe it's a whole month, maybe it's 2 months, and then there's this period of time for 3 days where you're using it. You know, how do we feel about the rules that we're setting for our lives? Because we're making them up. You know, when people at the top of the year challenge or feel challenged by some of the resolutions that they're saying, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week, and they really start feeling guilty about it. I'm like, why is that your goal? It sounds like you're doing three just fine. You know, it's sound
Where
like
did this come
three
from?
is, three is the sweet spot. I don't know why you're trying to do five. I mean, you haven't met your goal yet. Maybe you could be more intentional about the when you go to the gym, the time of day that you go to the gym. But I must do this thing. It sounds a bit inflexible. And we are creatures of change. And we don't, I don't want to put anybody in a position to be upset at themselves for something that they needed some more flexibility around. You know, like in general, maybe you don't want to cuss people out in 2024. But on a particular Tuesday at a particular light, they might get some F-bombs. You know,
Just depends.
You try, and you're still a good person. You
That's
know,
right.
you just cuss somebody out today, now don't do it tomorrow, right? Like, you know, where is the grace in how we show up in the world? Where's the grace with ourselves? And I think intention gives us some grace. You know, when people do bad things, well, it wasn't my intention. It's like, yeah, we need more intentions because it's like, well, that's not what I was trying to do. You know, what I was trying to do was this. So the intention is, this is what I'm trying to do. This is, you know, what I'm working toward, and I will get there somehow.
And do you feel like there's a sweet spot in the number of intentions that someone should consider at any given moment?
You know, I suggest to folks having intentions in different areas. What are your intentions for your friendships? What are your intentions for your family relationships? What are your intentions for your dating life or partnerships? What are your intentions with your children? What are your intentions with work? What are your intentions with health and exercise? What are your intentions with your spirituality? What is your intention with just these different areas of life? In this area, I hope to spend more time with people who give me energy, those friends who really recharge me. That's who my intention is, to spend more time with them. If that's my intention and I get an invite, guess what? Lisa, oh, I love her. Yes. Where are we going? Target? Okay. No,
I'm in.
Farmers Market, wherever. You are my intention, girl. I said people who energize me, and that's you. It's front of mind. This is the thing that I'm working toward. So having clear ideas about this is how I want to eat more fruit. I want to diversify my fruit. You know, so when you see a plum cot at the grocery store, you like, oh, I don't ever eat those.
That's mine.
Let me go ahead and get this because you know what I said? I'm diversifying my fruit.
That's
no
right.
No more basic plums for me.
Right, right. And I love also how you're phrasing these instead of saying, I'm going to eat more healthy. You know, you're being more specific, right? Instead yes. of saying, I want to have stronger relationships with people. It's, I want people whose energy in my life brings me joy, fulfills me, doesn't drain me. And these are the three or four people already in my life that I want to spend more time with. I think that's super smart because a lot of times we set those general intentions or resolutions. Even if someone's involved enough to do an intention and say, I want to work out and be healthy and I want to meditate. It's like, okay, well, how many minutes and what app are we thinking about using? What are the tools to get there, right? And actually drilling into being more specific because that's going to increase the likelihood that it happens more often.
The best goals are measurable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
When you just said, I'm going to read more. What?
Like how much
what more? You talk food labels, books, newspapers, magazines, right. What you reading and when, how long? Like,
yeah,
you know, that's
let's
not
get specific people in 2024.
Yes, I want to read more autobiographies by powerful women, one a month, whatever that right. is. So like,
that's right.
There needs to be something in there that is measurable. Like, how do you even know you achieved your goal? Reading more could mean anything. Like, what were you doing last year versus this year? Did you check your Apple News and you see, oh, I read? Like, what is the measure of success here?
That's right. One of the things that I teach when I'm advising people is this concept called master your data. It's like one of my five principles. And as a part of that, it's you have to know where you are before we start talking about where we want to be. We have to have an assessment of where we are. And it's a no judgment assessment, right? So if you're trying to read more books, go on your Audible, go on your Amazon and look and say, well, what books did I buy? What books have I listened to? And don't fluff the numbers and be like, well, I almost finished this book and didn't finish it. And oh, well, I did this and didn't do this. Just what is the reality of where you are today? No shame. And then, okay, let's just incrementally go to the next jump up. Let's not try to 10X it. I know there's a lot of gurus that are like 10X. I'm like, no, not 10X. Let's do like 3X. Be like, you know, and aim for that and being more specific about even, hey, when I'm on the treadmill, I'm on the elliptical, I'm going to be listening to Audible. You know, instead of music, it's going to be a book, right? And and to Nature's point, just actually setting up that habit, setting that intention of the when and how, and that will most likely help you'd be more likely to do it than not do it. Some of my intentions for next year are, one of them is health related in my health bucket, is to meditate more. That's one of the things that I am going to start doing. I used to meditate a ton and it's just gotten away from me. You know, it's got through different life changes and moving and different routines. It's not something that I do every day. And I also think I like canceled my Calm membership or something. And it's like funny how some of these memberships or apps like really actually are very helpful and can really help you because they remind you all the time. So that's one of the things that I'm going to work on. I'm curious if you have any intentions that you already know that you're thinking about for next year.
You mentioned meditating. And one of the things that I've been doing lately is whenever I see a sunset or a sunrise, I stop and pause. I try to notice the clouds. A lot like, oh my gosh, look at that pink coming in. Like that's a moment of meditation for me throughout the day. Like several times a day, I just look up and I take that moment and I pause for a bit. I do some breathing. That has been really restorative for me. For next year, you know, this is a time of year where I kind of sit down and I think about what I would like the next year to look like. And I haven't done that yet. That's I feel right. like next year is a continuation.
Okay.
Of a lot of stuff I'm already doing.
You had know, a strong
I
year.
Already, I had a strong year. Yeah. I think next year is a continuation in my relationships with people this year. I wanted to do more traveling with friends and their families. So mm-hmm. that's something that I was able to do. I went on three trips with friends and their children, or, you know, with our children. So that was really good to be able to do that. So I want to continue that. I have a list of people I want to build closer relationships with. Mm-hmm. So again, when they pop up on my song, that's the person I want to talk to. You on my list.
That's right.
Yeah. I want to connect with a friend once a day. So even if that's via text, hopefully it's a little conversation, but if we can't wiggle that in, I would love a text, a lunch, or, you know, so just trying to be intentional about those things now and continuing those things into the new year.
I love that. Yeah, I need to work on some. I had a lot of really amazing girlfriends who showed up for me during pregnancy. And I think that a lot of times these life transitions bring people closer together, getting married, having children, moving across the country, new jobs, things like that. And so one of my intentions is to continue to not let those relationships that I feel like we just got closer drop by the wayside just because now there's not a new life milestone that we're kind of all rallying around. So good. Okay. Tell me about your workbook that's coming out, and like, what are some of the takeaways or things that have been most surprising as you've shared your work and your frameworks with others?
The workbook that's coming out is the companion to my book, Drama Free. So there is a Drama Free workbook coming out in February. I think workbooks are really helpful for people who are in therapy or people who are therapy questioning, right? Like, so for those folks who are like, oh, I don't really want to go. I don't want to talk to anybody. Or I went 10 years ago. I didn't like it. Or I went 10 years ago. I'm done with my stuff or whatever it is. Even if you're in therapy, I think it's really helpful to have a tool specific to your issue to help you with that stuff, because therapy, sometimes I notice a lot with my clients from week to week, there's so much stuff that I can't even go back to the thing that maybe you came in for. You came in for this issue with your boss, but now we're talking about how you're having these challenges with finding eggs at the store by your house, right? So just now we're talking about your neighbor. Now, you know, that's like all of this other stuff comes in, and we have, not that we've lost it, but sometimes just from week to week, you had this issue with your boss, but now we're going through Thanksgiving. We're about, you know, we're talking about cousin so-and-so, and it's like, okay, we'll get back to the boss issue. But there is a workbook to help you with that. You know, it's a workbook to help you with the issue with your boss. There's a workbook to help you with your family stuff. There's a workbook to help you with self-esteem. So with my clients, I will say sometimes, you know, it really sounds like you're struggling with confidence. Here is a workbook that I want you to get. And I just, every day, just do a page. Don't try to do three pages, because today you're doing zero. Please don't overshoot. That's right. Do one page.
Yes. Realistic.
One page. Realistic. Because you'll have people like, I want to do the chapter. Please don't. You're doing nothing now.
Please don't.
Don't go too far. You're one is enough. But yeah, I think workbooks really help supplement things that you may already be doing or things that you might want to know more about. With family relationships and with boundaries, because I have a boundaries workbook.
Yep.
Reading is wonderful. I love books. Oh my gosh. You talked about reading. I try to read like 50 books a year. I love to read. Like, catch me reading anytime. But what happens when we read is we digest all this information and we're like, oh, that was a good book. We have implemented nothing. We have gone on to the next book, and we learning some new principles.
That's
we
right.
We haven't even implemented the principles we learned in February.
And now a word from our sponsor for today's episode. In the world of social media, connection is everything. Entrepreneurs, content creators, designers, and all types of brands and small businesses need to engage with their audience and share their online identity. A .bio domain is a great way to do that. I love buying domain names because it helps me share with the world new information and have a clear place to manage my links and content. Short, memorable, and professional, your .bio domain name is the best way to share yourself with the world. Right now at porkbun.com/thejourney, you can get a .bio domain name for your link in bio page for a low price, plus tons of freebies like SSL certificates, web and email hosting trials, and more.
So what can be helpful is to have a tool companion that challenges you to practice. Mm-hmm. Do the stuff that you learned where you was like, ooh, that was a good line. Let me underline it. Go do it.
Go do it. That's right.
Go do it.
We're all guilty of that. We are all guilty of reading. I can't tell you how many books. I have probably 3 books next to my bed where I'm like, oh man, this is good. Like, I have a business strategy book on like strategic thinking. And I'm like, I need to do this when we do our planning with the company. And yeah, I need to talk to my leaders team. When we do our leadership retreat, we're going to do this exercise. By the time that leadership retreat comes up, I'm going to be on book number 4. We're going to be doing something else.
Yeah, I think when we read a book like Set Boundaries, Find Peace, you're like, oh my gosh, my aunt, she's, you know, she is always saying something about so-and-so. But when you get the workbook, it's like, okay, when someone is gossiping and you are not in that same space, what do you say to them?
That's right. Yeah.
Like, you have to practice this stuff for it to be like a part of who you are. And lots of times we'll just read it and we're like, oh my gosh, that's such great information. Mm-hmm. You are not living the boundaries. You mm-hmm. are not living these things that you find to be like so helpful. Like, I don't want to just read Atomic Habits. I want to
do
it.
Yeah.
I want to do some of the stuff. Yes. So, you know, I read a lot of books on like time management. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I notice is you can read time management books. You can read 2,000 of those books. But if you do not implement any of those strategies, you've wasted all of your time. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it, I feel like I could write a time management pamphlet because so much of it is about boundaries, right?
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. like boundaries. It's like, you know, turn your phone off. Mm-hmm. When you're really trying to get through a project, get off the internet, you know?
Yes, like, yes. Simple, yet effective.
But you know what? With those sort of books, I need to hear that like once a month. I need a time management book once a month just to remind me, like, close your browser. I'm like, ooh, did they scream?
Yes, I know. Stop yelling at me.
Close my browser. Yeah, stop yelling. They're talking to me.
What would you say to people who feel like they're too cool for a workbook? Like, they're like, workbooks, I am not in college anymore. I'm not going to sit here and write out my feelings. And I don't want anybody to read what I just wrote because I got a lot of nosy people in the house.
Oh, okay. So I am one of those people. I do not like people to read what I wrote. Mm-hmm. And so I do not write in my workbooks. Ooh. I keep a separate paper notebook, or I put it in my notes app and you can lock them notes. But I will work through stuff in separate places. I do not do it in the book because just like those folks, I don't want people, and you know, people, I need to have better book boundaries because sometimes people will pick up a book and flip through it. It's like, ta, 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 ta. No.
Yeah, I need you to calm down on these notes.
Don't be flipping through my books. And that's right. You know, I don't loan out books. And that's why it's like, girl, I have highlighted what's important to me. Now you read it like, ooh, she think that, give me my book. Give me my book. Your name might be next to that quote. I don't know. Put your name in the margin.
See, now somebody's going to start going through all those books behind you. They're going to be like, what she got to say?
But I will highlight in books, or I'll you know, do a little page turn down. But for workbooks in particular, I do like to write it in a separate space because it's a lot to think about. And sometimes I like to tell people about an exercise. And if I've written all in the book, it's like, okay, we need a new book. So I kind of, I find that when we have those trust issues around people reading our stuff, we have to figure out other ways to do that work without people being able to access it. If you think you're too cool to write anything or to, oh, I'm too cool to read a workbook, think of it as a book. You know, it's information in there. There's an audio version. You know, you don't have to grab the workbook. There are some books that I have that I feel like they're, it could be a conversation piece if I read it in public. Because I'm a therapist, I sometimes read certain books. And yeah, I've had people come over my house and be like, what's going on? Because they have picked up, you know, What to Do After the Affair. I'm like, what's up? What are you talking about? And they're like, this book. I'm like, oh, I'm reading that for work. You know, so I think, you know, or sometimes just the set boundaries, find peace. You may want to read that over the holiday with your family, but you may not want them to see the title of that book. So audiobooks are a really wonderful way to do some of that work without everybody knowing what you're doing. Or even a Kindle book, you know, another wonderful way to have some discretion around what people are able to see. When you're doing some of this work, because sometimes even with our partners, depending on what you read,
You're not that ready yet.
I'm not ready to share with you that I'm reading about couple stuff, because we may not be in the same place. Yeah. Right. So,
or you're working on self and you don't want to have a whole conversation yet.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I wanted to just say that and share that with people, just because a lot of times, you know, people who listen to this podcast, we're all ambitious people, right? You don't listen to this podcast unless you're trying to go from A to B, unless you're trying to get inspiration to go from A to B. You're trying to work through the how to get from A to B. And oftentimes it's not lack of intention. And clearly these are people who are doing something. They took an action. They watched a video. They're on Spotify. They're on podcasts right now. But there's still always, there's something that prevents people from taking the full action that will actually get the result that they're looking for. And so I like to always talk through, okay, what are the objections or the things that people might say that then they want to do the workbook, they want to read the book, they want to do the things, but they wind up not doing it.
You know, I think there are so many TV shows and invites and cleaning that we could be doing, decluttering, clipping our ends. There are just so many things that could busy us with life. We have to prioritize what we say is important. If I say that my mental health is important, because a lot of people say this, my mental health important, and I'm doing nothing to support healthy mental health, mental health is not actually that important to you. You know what's more important? Reality TV. Now that's hard to admit when when you say, here's my value, it's like, I don't see this playing out in any sort of way.
That's right. Are you doing what you said you were going to do? I call that my say-do ratio. Is what you say you're going to do and what you do, how's your ratio today? Because if it's off, if it's too far off, then what are we really doing here, y'all? What are we really doing? We just want to look like we're doing things. We just like, you want to feel like you're doing stuff.
We want to say it. You know, I listened to this podcast. I can't remember. Is it Freakonomics? I can't remember which one, but they were talking about how people are terrible at knowing themselves. And this guy was talking about his wife considers herself to be like this really, you know, non-picky, diverse type of eater. And every time they go out, she will order something that she does not actually want to eat, but she really feels like, oh, I love to try new things. And he's like, you actually don't. Please just get the chicken and mashed potatoes. Because what happens is, and be done with it. Because what happens is you try this new thing, you don't like it. And it's like, why do you try new stuff? Like, don't do this.
And it becomes a whole situation. That's the part he's probably leaving out.
Yes. He's like, now we're talking to managers. Now we're, you know, and it's like, you actually don't like new things, but we can have it in our head. Like, I am, you know, I am a person who blah, blah, blah. And it's like, where is the proof? Who else?
Listen, we could sit on a whole podcast about that. I get that all the time. People who are like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm like, okay, cool. What have you built? What are you building? What are we waiting for? Who's giving you permission? I done picked up a pencil. Who's giving you permission? Or what are we waiting on? Like, go build something. Go sell something. Yeah. Go make something. Put it into the world. I'm an artist. Okay, when was the last time you painted? Okay, I'm an author. When was the last time you wrote? Mm-hmm. Like, that just being who you are or who you say you are versus just talking about it, I think is something that, you know, I mean, social media doesn't help with this characteristic. But it's something that I really encourage people to consider as they set their intentions for next year mm-hmm. is having mm-hmm. a higher say-do ratio, mm. right? In closing, where else can people connect with you? Your Instagram is amazing, so I'm just going to tell them right now to follow you on Instagram. Do you have channels on Instagram? Have you started that yet?
I have not started a channel. Maybe I'll look into that. But people can find me. I have a website, nedratawab.com. I have all of my books, free worksheets. I have a weekly newsletter you can sign up for. Any events that I'm hosting or being a part of, that is on my website. So my website is a really wonderful place to find out more about me and my work. And as you mentioned, Instagram is my chosen social media platform that is updated the most. Mm-hmm. So either of those spaces, you can find out more about me and what I'm doing. And I'm happy to have you in my community.
Well, thank you so much for spending time here on the Journey Podcast. I've taken away so much. You know, now I feel like I have a better roadmap for thinking through boundaries. I also now have a response to my own mental objection to writing things down in a workbook. So thank you for that. And hopefully other people who listen to this podcast is just one step further in their own journey towards living a drama-free life, having mm-hmm. a better sense of self, and doing whatever work it is that you say you want to do. So thank mm-hmm. you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right, y'all. That's it for today's episode. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Also, make sure you're checking out my newsletter at morgandevon.com. We're going to be releasing a lot more fun things via the newsletter and my YouTube channel because I'm very expressive. Yes, you can listen to my voice. I don't know if I have a soothing voice, but at least I'm very expressive on YouTube. So make sure you check that out if you haven't already. Until next time, see you later. Thanks for listening to the Journey Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a review and head to our Instagram and YouTube to leave a comment. I look forward to hearing how this podcast has made an impact on your own journey.